the podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
Hey, what's going on? It's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and DoubleT973.com. Thank you for joining us on a Monday edition here as we're live from the First United Bank studio. You can call us on the Visual Edge IT hotline. That number's open for you, 806-771-0973. Or you can hit us up on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Thoughts, comments, reactions to regional play. Don't forget, you can take us anywhere with you with the mobile app brought to you by Happy State Bank. We'll go three and a half full hours. Go all the way up to 6:30 today. At that time, it is Rangers versus, let me get my best Aaron Dickens in here, Cardinals. Cardinals.
Hey, making it a full, making it the full three syllable.
Yeah. How many times do you think he said Cardinal on the cruise so far? Over under this week, four and a half.
Cardinal Cruise Line, is it?
No, I don't think so. Clint Scott, Dr. Mike Gustafson, Brennan Riker behind the glass. We have the doctor of the diamond back with us, fully healthy, mostly.
I'm dang sure better off than I was on Friday. That little stomach bug that's going around, no joke. Somebody that's going, man, my stomach doesn't feel good. Like, yeah, don't drink after them, get the heck away from them, whatever.
That's what, like, that was rough. Macy and I were just having the conversation about a week ago. Like, hey, you know, neither of us have really gotten, like, nauseous sick in quite a long time. And I was like, we said that, and all of a sudden, oh, this person's having a stomach bug.
Yeah, it got about 3 in the morning. I was like, man, my stomach, you know, just doesn't feel right, and kind of didn't sleep great, and then It was about 12 hours of that stuff before there was finally an eruption.
We will get to all of your thoughts and comments the best we can today on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Already a bunch rolling in. Of course, you didn't see Red Raider baseball sees their season come to a close in Game 7. They get blanked 6-0 by the Florida Gators. And Gus, if I had told you before regional play started, and go back to last Thursday, and I said, hey, they'll be playing in a Game 7 for a spot at the Super Regional, probably would have taken it, right?
Oh, heck yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
You look at the loss yesterday, and then you look at the loss today, and ultimately ends up back-to-back losses to a really good Florida team. This is something we're talking about before we even started. You know, this Florida team, obviously loaded, ridiculously good. Clearly you're going to be disappointed, but you could use disappointed in I lost in regional play, disappointed I lost at the Super Regional, lost, didn't anytime you didn't end with a championship, which you're still hunting for, clearly, you're going to use the word disappointed. But with all the worries of pitching and that staff that came in, you had a lot of really good outings from a lot of guys.
Yep, I agree. And if you'd have this time last week said, hey, you're gonna be in Game 7 in Gainesville, I go, yeah, I'm in, sign me up. But yeah, that they look like the number two seed, the way they, you know, just the way they flexed the arm depth. And you know, Langford, I talked about him last week, and number three prospect in the draft, and you know, he was flashing his power and hit the first home run today. That was their first run, right? And we're talking about the left fielder.
Yeah.
And but maybe the most impressive thing he did this weekend was, I mean, the power's real, the 18 home runs or whatever. But think about the game we beat them on, whatever, I think my day's right, Saturday night. You know, two outs, he rolls that ground ball to short and beats it out. It's like, damn, that might be. I can't safely say that it's the fastest guy on the field, but I'm like, that dude's flying, man. Mm-hmm. That's the dude with the best juice and he's the best looking body on the field and the whole deal. You go, yeah, that's why he's the number three prospect in the whole shooting match.
Yeah.
And so, you know, dudes like that are, you know, that's special. And you got another guy over there with, what, 30 jacks and he's your Sunday guy on the mound.
The best last name spelling in the whole tournament, Taglione.
Yeah, with some silent N's and stuff like that in there.
Yeah, if you do it actually phonetically, it's like Cagliognone, and you're like, yeah, I'll take that Italian sandwich, the Cagliognone. It comes with, like, salami, right?
Me and my roommates were watching them all weekend long, and I was like, Jack Olive Garden's back up to bat now.
What's our prosciutto?
The disrespect.
That's right. That's their Sunday guy, you know. And so that's a loaded deal. And just, I think they had six dudes with double digit homers, and that's not a homer barn there. I'm not saying the ball doesn't fly or whatever. I haven't really looked at a park factor. To me, it seems sort of average, but they had a bunch of dudes with some juice. Top 100 shortstop in the draft. Tell me when you want me to stop.
One of those multi or double digit home run guy, of course, gets two today. The catcher,
right.
So, I mean, it's top to bottom,
right. And just grown roster. Men. Yeah, grown men, physical bunch. And, nobody wants to look at this. It's the consolation prize. It's the kind of stuff you say when you get beat. But that if you had gone to play a regular season series in Florida in early March and took one of three, you'd probably be going, down there, yeah. You know, it's just that's not what you can do. In a regional, obviously, but yeah.
And I think even if you...
Could be worse. Could work for the OSU Cowboys. Get to them later.
Oof. Yeah. We'll take a look around the Big 12 as a whole as well. But even just take the getting to today, getting to Game 7, but even if you reverse how you got there and you did Florida's route, I think what, I guess, stings a little bit more is that you had that 2-0 start, and you're going, you just needed the one. But to me, that's just where you saw the difference. And it's something that's not like snuck up on you in regional play, that when ultimately in a couple of back-to-back games where the bats were cold and runners in scoring position was a very, very disappointing ending stat, you still didn't have the depth from the arms to, like, once you got past that first guy. Because, again, you got a great start yesterday. You got a really good start, shorter start, of course, but, I mean, matches three innings of his longest outing for Jacob Rogers. But, again, once it got past that first wall, there was just not a lot that you could do to keep yourself in that situation if your bats weren't rolling. They just weren't.
Yeah, the sum total of the offense this year was that it was a pretty good year. It feels like, we know that this was a very offensive year around college baseball, just more dudes, you know, whatever, dipping and lifting or whatever, but the more backspin, more home runs just around the country. For whatever reason, I mean, two weekends in a row, you're 2-0 and can't get that third win and against a couple of tournament teams. But yeah, they've got some things that they'll have to work on.
The podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
It's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com. So on Fox 34 News Now and streaming live on YouTube. Shout out to all of our YouTube streamers. When Scott, Dr. Mike Gustafson, Brennan Riker behind the glass. We'll go all the way up to 6:30 today. We get this on the 8th Flooring Center chat line. You can hit us up there as well. Thoughts, comments, reactions to the regional, to this season as a whole. All of that welcome there. We'll get to as many as we can. We get this. Disappointing season. Florida was by far the better team. The rosters were starkly different. The roster has to get much better before next year to come Pete with top SEC teams, humbling experience.
Yeah, somebody was chirping about the defense earlier. Like, defense has got a, it, you know, it was kind of a Tadlock needs to kind of a fire everybody kind of a deal. And I thought, you know, I mean, I let me get the right name here. This might be a good time for some Phil music while I'm thinking about it.
Easy, yeah. There you go.
That a boy. And all I'm doing here are I keep wanting to call Josh Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We had another Sanders that was our drafted kid. Thank you, sir. that was one of our two drafted kids last year. It was Petty and Sanders. Travis Sanders was his name. And Travis was drafted last year at high school.
Mm-hmm.
Was around in the fall. Good looking player. You know, freshman. Did some good things. More third base than shortstop out of him. And then I believe a back injury that took him out in January. Like out.
Mm-hmm.
Like out. Don't touch a bat.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm sure it was around the ballpark. I didn't see him. so when you think about, like, you know, people that are crowing about the defense need to get better, I would say that because every dude is back on the infield, both catchers, third base, both shortstop, second base, first base. So if the conversation is about the defense getting better, generally speaking, that's a conversation about infield.
Mm-hmm.
There can sometimes be some, you know, some outfield woes in there, and there's going to be some errors in the outfield too. But generally, if you're a bad defensive team, you either got poor – anyway, most of the time that conversation is about those dudes in the infield. Well, every one of them's back. And so if you just are of the belief that, you know, the defense has to get better, then who are you moving out? You know, who are you getting rid of? How are you changing that thing? And I'm not saying this is what Tim and those guys get paid money to figure this stuff out. It's for you and me, it's a rhetorical question, or me and the listener, or whoever.
Glad you asked, Gus. Exactly. I have a 5-step plan.
Exactly. Well, and because sometimes you can look at it and go, hey, we get the defense better. And there's some natural breaks. You know, this guy's graduating. This guy's going to get drafted. Da da da. This entire group. Now, it's Austin Green. You know, scouts have asked about Austin Green earlier this year because, and you know what? There were some scouts that probably saw him hit 95 or 96 onto the concourse deal out there in Gainesville Saturday night. And so somebody may take a chance on him because there's a, you know, a power tool that's pretty good. But I don't know what if he's a draftable guy. He's probably on the fringe of that. But for the most part, that whole group's back. And so I think the biggest conversation about all this is there a move that's about to be made? You know, does Bazell go behind the plate?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe the other Sanders kid that I'm talking about, maybe there's third base for him. Bigger question for him is just health, though. I mean, you know, because that's a – when you talk about an injury.
Well, that's something where they said, like, don't touch a bat.
And that's me saying that. But, yeah, I don't – if he did any bat touching, I'm not aware of it. Because he was, like – he was canned in a way that was, like, my understanding was it was, like, a stress-type related back injury, not a, oh, hey, boy, my – you know, go to the chiropractor and get it popped back into place. Like, no, this was stress fractures and I don't know, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like the kind of thing that you don't want to, it's way more of a 68-year-old than an 18-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And again, all of that, I don't know all that for certain, but just, you know, that type of injury. And so, you know, if you bring back the entire group, what part of the thing you hope is, all right, fellas, we got to approach this thing with a cleaner game. You know, it's not like you don't move Gavin Cash to left field. You don't move, you know, I mean, does.
Right.
And so are there some moves that could be made? You know, does, but, you know, if you start opening day with the infield that finished the year this year with maybe the interchangeable at short, or maybe Lopez at second and Burns at short and Cash or Austin Green DH or something. Like, that's not a wholesale roster change. And so, you know, there could just be a whole lot of emphasis and coaching emphasis and all that on, fellas, we got to clean it up this year, mm-hmm. you know.
Well, and if they're going to be back, you know, for another year, hopefully a few more years. I mean, when you look at – and this was a discussion. Now, you beat UConn, but still this was a discussion with UConn, too, of what stood out about them. And then with Florida as well, is they were an older team. Well, those players have to be there and get older to be an older team as well.
Right.
And so that consistency that you're looking for in all parts of the game, you're going to – like, if they were the same – this infield, if they were the same level of mistake-making or decision-making or just, you know, stayed the exact same player and didn't get any better from all facets of the game – like with a bat in their hands included, yeah, that would be very disappointing. And like, okay, but
right.
you don't expect that to happen, right?
No, I wouldn't think so. And that's exactly it. And I think the you should have a bunch of dudes clean up their game. I don't say cleaning it up, but able to put a greater focus on it. And let's assume that entire infield group is back. Mm-hmm. I just don't know that you're able to go, well, we're going to – and, you know, and you're bringing in a whole new group. And you know, when Coach Thomas talks about this signing group, he talks about another talented freshman group, especially in the position group. Again, in other words, this year it was, you know, Harrelson, Lopez, Burns, that group, Maxie, you know, that – I think there's some more impactful position guys in that group. And so, and I'm not saying there's not pitching in that group, but just this conversation as we're having it right now. And so, you know, there's obviously corner outfields that are open. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying that putting Harrelson in center field. What happens with DC, with Dylan? I don't know. I mean, that he's got his diploma. He's done 4 years here. Does he want to continue playing? Do they want him here? I don't know. That'll be a big question because, you know, he ended up this year much as he did last year, you know, really lost at the plate. And believe me, I'm not celebrating because I love that kid. Mm-hmm. But it's just a fact, you know, he's really struggled and he really struggled down the stretch and wasn't the same after the injury.
Right, and that's where I was going to go to. It ended up being not a disappointing year for him, but when you look at how he started, and he was one of your more efficient batters, mm-hmm. along with who we all know is an all-conference, really, I mean, what team wouldn't want his type of defense on the field past just the Big 12, and then just wasn't the same after the injury. It was just... You know, I would be very interested if he does want to go another year, saying, okay, what does the start of his next year look like? Because if you could get some of that same kind of juju that happened at the start for him, then, I mean, he just turns into an even bigger asset. Because if we're being honest, like, it was his run in the conference tournament and his run there, what he did see of postseason play was what you'd seen from Dylan Carter his entire career here. We're outstanding outfielder, but soft spot there in the lineup.
And the deeper in his career he went, the more banged up he was. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, this time last year it was back stuff. He'd swing and miss and grab his back, and we knew about the repeated shoulder injuries last year. And so all of that to say, it's been a grind for him to get here. Who knows? But, you know, you're probably replacing a couple of outfielders next year. Is, you know, where will it go from here? I don't know, but hopefully there's, you know, good players in this group. We've got four signees in the top Baseball America top 400 draft guys, so here we go.
Keep rolling right along here on Tech Talk. You've got us on Double T97.3 and DoubleT97.3.com.
The podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Time for another quick round of headlines. You have the juice. Part of Tech Talk here on Double T97.3 and DoubleT97.3.com. I'm Scott, Dr. Mike Gustafson, Brendan Ryker behind the glass. It was a rough day for the Red Raiders offensively as they see their season come to a close, losing 6-0 after losing 7-1 yesterday to Florida. Just four hits. Gage Harrelson had three of those four. But runners in scoring position was a problem all regional, and it reared its ugly head yet again today. As you had base runners pass those hits as well. There's some walks and batters hit as well, but couldn't get it done. Season comes to a close for 2023. The Florida Gators will move on to super regional play, and they'll host South Carolina. The Gamecocks have been waiting since yesterday, breezed through their regional that they host for the most part. So those will be your super regional compadres going head-to-head. A couple of SEC opponents. Big 12 teams that are alive. Texas advanced out of Miami's regional. Gross. So they will still be playing in super regional play. TCU facing Arkansas as we speak. They rocked the Hogs there yesterday in Fayetteville. So they hold the advantage currently for the quick advance there. Texas Rangers, they'll be coming up here tonight against the Cardinals, double T97-3, starting a series after sweeping the Mariners all three games there. The Astros will face the Blue Jays at Toronto. They won their series as well. They went 3-1 against the Angels. The Miami Heat have even the NBA Finals, winning 111-108, beating the Nuggets there at Denver. So game three will go back to Miami. Shaping up to be an interesting series. Gus, I had this thought, and I won't get too far in the NBA, but I always think it's funny when you look at a labeled usually as a good series or a great series. Did that one go to seven or did that one go to six? And I completely disagree because you see in the NBA, seven-game series where every single game was a 20-point right. blowout. It was just going back and forth, and those games just aren't entertaining. Give me four or five of the games you had last night. Yes.
You know, that is interesting, and there's probably some data somewhere. Somebody's got to can go query a database and come to that, but it sure feels that way. Like, these games open up to one side or the other, and it's not to say there's no competitiveness. We know better than that, especially this deep in the thing. I mean, you can see where dudes are pacing themselves in dog days of January or whatever, right. You know. It just feels like these games will open up, and then that's it. Okay, and I think Denver's still a heavy favorite, but yeah, it's just again, it may be prisoner of the moment, just seeing what we think we're seeing and then leeching onto that. But, I'm with you.
Now, for the most part, the reason that's happened is the complete change or drastic change, I should say, over the past 5 years. And really, you can count it back to a decade with the amount of outside shots you're taking, because most teams are now. And so it just takes one team to be the hot one and the other one to have a cold night. And that's why you have these just incredibly outscoring opponents by just tons and tons of points. When you look at what normal basketball scores are in our minds, and you go, okay, well, that's how this happened, and it happens seven games in a series, and it just alternates. And so because of that, like, the numbers just get skewed, and teams will wave the white flag in the fourth quarter because, okay, it's not our night.
Right.
We'll see if we can shoot hotter in, you know, game three. Now, I do think you have a little bit difference with the two teams you have in the NBA Finals, because they don't lean on it quite as much. But like last year, that was totally the story when you had the Warriors and Celtics of who won that game in the Finals would be, okay, well, who was just shooting better from the outside, and there's a bounce back and forth. And it's rare to me that you see, especially if you have a lineup of teams that shoot a bunch of outside shots, where they're both having hot outside bounce.
Right,
and it's
right,
like,
right.
Well, this was a complete shootout. But yeah, so give me more games like last night. We get this on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. This for Colorado. There's a chance that they could jump this week. That's true, but this goes back to the conversation we're having where you've just had so many, oh, this is what I'm hearing. Yeah. And this is swirling. To me, as far as a deadline of when Colorado would, like, if they don't jump by this date, they're not going to. I don't think that exists, but I also think that they could jump before they ultimately see the numbers that are presented to them whenever they do get whatever sort of TV deal. Because if Rick George says this, right, and this I think could go for any Pac-12 school if they were offered this and if they were interested in conference realignment, you know, of course they're going to say, well, yeah, we're yada yada, blanket statement, happy to be here. We'll wait till we see the numbers. But at a certain point, if you just keep waiting and waiting and waiting with nothing, and Kliavkoff is more, okay, well, I'm going to actually test how much of a leash you're giving me before you jump, because it may work to my benefit to just keep going slow rolling, because it's not going to get worse number-wise. I don't think it's going to get better, but, you know, if you guys really are waiting, because if I show you the numbers this week and you go, okay, yeah, that's what we thought, see ya, then it would work to his benefit to just slow roll this thing as possible. But I don't think that the cutoff date for Colorado, if they don't jump by this date, I don't think that exists. But yes, I agree, they still could jump before they actually see the numbers if they get annoyed enough.
It does feel like there could be some gamesmanship at play from Kliavkoff to that membership. Now, that may just be our view from the outside looking at it and seeing the scenario, and it's easy to see it as you describe. Like, he's got nothing, but he's, you know, they're playing poker and trying to hold them off and keep them all together. And, you know, is it all just some big, enormous bluff? Who knows? But, right. Where that thing goes. I mean, the key thing there, and again, there's nothing new to say about it. And you and me, and certainly me and AD have hammered the topic, and I don't mean that in an inappropriate way, because it's going to be big, big news if and when it happens. And is it a two-team ad? Is it could be a one-team? And then, these things typically happen in pairs, at least at the same time, Texas, OU, UCLA, USC. But, there could be one in June and one in August, you know, that, and then you sit back and wait for some ACC carnage, or wait for UConn/Gonzaga and try to go basketballish. You know, who knows? I mean, we've heard all those rumors. Again, that's sort of where I'm going with this, is I don't think there's any new data here or a smoking gun with regard to this that makes us go, yeah, man, we've been talking about A, B, and C, but suddenly D, E, and F look really – I mean, I just don't know that there's anything new here.
It's seeing clouds coming in that are dark and thunderous, but until you start seeing those drops, there's not actually any rain. This is where it's nothing new, and this is where, again, the pockets and the swirls come from that we're talking about, with the upping of the rumor mill rolling around real heavy this morning. Part of it's timeline-wise, where you're ending the Big 12 meetings there in West Virginia. There, and you know that the talks have been going on for a long time, and this has been stuff that has been confirmed and nailed down. It's just now you're waiting for that actual green light from Colorado. And to your point, I do think it's interesting that, you know, you look at OU in Texas and you look at USC and UCLA that have really set off this round of realignment talk and this whole domino effect that's been happening from last summer when OU and Texas said, you ever going to the SEC, that it's been in partners. But when you look at major conference realignment, one of the last ones that went by themselves, it's Colorado.
Right.
So.
No, that's right. They didn't happen in a tidy little two-off pairing. And typically what you don't see is just odd-numbered conferences. You know, it's happened, but it's typically, there's usually an ad, you know, a two-team ad or two-team subtraction.
And so this is where we've used the domino effect for specifically Colorado and the Pac-12. Could this be a time where we see, okay, instead of Colorado waiting for Arizona, you know, you welcome in Colorado, and then a month later, oh yeah, Arizona's coming too. We'll see. This from Sooner in Lubbock. Do you expect a lot of these guys back?
Yeah, I sure hope so. I mean, I think the entire infield could be back. And you know, this may be a year in which we have one dude drafted, maybe two. You know, maybe another guy signed free agent. This isn't going to be a big bounty of draft this year. It's just not.
This is Tech Talk.
The podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
It's Tech Talk here on Double T 97.3. Thank you for joining us. Clint Scott, Dr. Mike Gustafson, Brendan Riker behind the glass. We've been getting all your thoughts and comments off the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Of course, Red Raider baseball seeing their season come to a close in the Gainesville Regional, losing 6-0 today. Gus, I'm curious what type of fan you are. And what I mean you've seen this for, you know, this is always going to happen. And again, unless you win the national championship, for baseball and for basketball, when your team gets knocked out, are you a, I hope Florida goes and wins it so you can say, well, you know, we did lose to the national champion. Or is it, I hope they lose to South Carolina and they don't score a single run, or does it matter? Does it depend on the situation?
Yeah, very much so. Depends on the, very much so. The nature in which we got beat and just the angst over it and all that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
For me, watching this thing, I didn't leave there like just with the hate-filled venom toward Florida. Wanted to beat them, don't get me wrong, but we weren't here with them all weekend, I didn't think, and that's me doing fist to fist, butting heads with them. I mean, we're playing hard and all that. I'm not saying that. I'm talking about like, you know, fans fighting in the stands, and I hate those guys, you know, that thing.
I'm sorry, I thought this was America.
Right.
I didn't think it was interesting. The only thing I was the same way. I would say I typically line up with I will hate that team, and I could care less if they, go and win the whole thing. I typically hate that team for at least a couple of years. Now, it really, for some reason, wasn't the case with Florida. But the one thing that I did take away that I thought was funny was the overrated chance to the three-seeded Texas Tech Red Raiders from the top-seeded Florida Gator fan base. Like, how so? Explain. You're saying they should have been a four-seed? I don't get for a chant that I already hate anyways is the overrated chant. But especially in that, like, what are you doing? You're the host team. What are you talking about?
It's such a brutal chant because you're downplaying the opponent. It's success. You know, it's like you. Mm-hmm. You know, I get it. I get the tone of it, but it's just like there's plenty of things you could say that I think are better. But by the way, TCU Horned Frogs putting it on the Arkansas Razorbacks here in the eighth inning, up 9-4. Winner of that regional will go to Terre Haute to play Indiana State.
Of course,
LSU's taking care of business today. Play the winner of Kentucky and Indiana. I mean, that's not right, is it? Kentucky and check that now.
Technical difficulties.
No, no. It's fun.
LSU will play Kentucky and Indiana winner.
There you go. University of Georgia, it looks like they're hiring the pitching coach at LSU. Interesting note there. You might remember that the LSU pitching coach was the Minnesota Twins pitching coach. Left there mid-season. I don't mean like in the minor leagues somewhere. I mean the Minnesota Twins pitching coach left there to be the pitching coach at LSU and now believed to be accepting the University of Georgia head coaching job. Interestingly, reported a college baseball note there being reported by Pete Thamel. How about that?
Yeah.
So getting some intel outside of the normal veins of college baseball news flow.
One game, speaking of games played today, Stanford and Texas A&M looking to advance to face Texas. Are you interested in a possible Texas A&M Super Regional?
You know, those are probably would be. It's got a little downside to it if all you're doing is existing to make sure neither of those two teams get to
right
have any fun, then you're all in on the Cardinal, right?
Yeah.
The A&M Texas thing is interesting because it feels like when those two play, I think it was in about 2018 that A&M got sent to the Texas Regional. And Texas worked them over, and it felt like that was a year that A&M might have been a little better. Oh, more runs for the golly, Trey Richardson again, dude. That kid, that's the TCU second baseman. The kid hit two home runs all year. Yesterday hit two grand slams in the first two innings, and then another home run later has just hit another home run. Unbelievable. Yeah. I mean, that's an unbelievable power surge out of a guy that hit two home runs all year.
Especially against Arkansas
Fayetteville. Unconscious. I mean, like, this is a tank that he pimps. I mean, and you know, he's 10 times the player I was, but if you didn't run around hitting a bunch of home runs, you usually don't have a great sense of pimping the home run. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, the dudes that are good at pimping home runs are the ones that hit enough of them to go, oh, yeah, I got that one.
They you can know. Feel it off yes. the bat. I mean, a lot of those guys know as they're swinging, if I just make contact, this
yes.
is gone.
Yes. And in hindsight, I can look back and go, oh, that one I hit against so-and-so, I knew I got all of that. But I just didn't have the juice in me to, like, and I say juice meaning, like, the confidence, the swag, mm-hmm. to go, oh, hey, boys, pop the collar, you know, do the little Ricky Henderson sidestep or whatever. No, mm-hmm. for me, it was like, oh, crap, maybe a double, you know. And so Trey Richardson with his two home runs has now hit four this weekend, and he's just, like, crushing balls to left and pimping it out of the box. I'm like, dude, pimp it all you want. But, yeah, now they're officially throttling the Razorbacks 11-4. And, again, the winner of that goes to Terre Haute next weekend to play the Fighting Sycamores of the Fighting Larry Birds of Indiana State.
You know, Gus, as a great collegiate hitter, I was known to pimp on it. I would actually, after
Clint goes down
I hit
as
it.
A great collegiate hitter.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you again, Gus. After I hit one, you know, again, before I'm swinging, I know if I make contact, it's out of here. I would pick a different dance move to do all the way around the bases. Go-to was worming, doing the worm all the way from home to home. Sometimes I'd moonwalk. You know, every once in a while before I actually touched home plate, I would do the Scotty Too Hotty one-leg circle and then jump on there.
I don't even know what that one is. I've never even I might recognize it if I saw it, but I've never heard it.
There's a little 2000s Clint liking the WWE for you. A little too cool. Rikishi in there as well.
Nice.
Yeah. This on the chat line. Great year, Texas Tech. I'm so sad for the loss. And end of the year, Gators were the best team. Too much talent. It is not a coaching decision, but they are good. We beat them once, thanks to Coach Tadlock and staff. Hashtag Wreck'em forever. And then, of course, on the other side, did the same thing in the Big 12 tournament. Set themselves up where all they had to do was win one game to move on. Choked both times. Sad, sad, sad.
Well, you and I talked about that last week over on 100.7 The Score. We talked about how if Tech's ability to get out of this regional lies on their ability to win however many games in a row. And, mm-hmm. and again, you saw Tech win two games in a row in this regional, then you played that third game and you just couldn't quite get over that hump in this series.
And really, again, you look and you had, ultimately it gets away from you yesterday, but to me it wasn't so much worrying about the pitching because it was for what this offense is and the arms that you were facing. I wouldn't, and Gus, tell me if you know, disagree. I didn't think Florida had elite arms. They just had really good arms up and down.
Yeah.
And we just couldn't get anything productive offensively when you needed it.
I would refer to what they threw out there in their games 4 and 5 as good arms, mm-hmm. and a buttload of strikes thrown out of those good arms. But, yeah, we're not talking about, I mean, the elite arms were the first three, and we happened to beat one of their elite arms.
Mm-hmm.
Again, if you sized it up and went, hey, you're going to go to Gainesville this year and take one of the three games there, I'm not loving that, but I'm not going, well, that's a disaster of a thing. The sad part is you had to win the series, essentially, to advance and just didn't get it done. You have two weekends in a row and scored one run in the last two games, right?
Mm-hmm. It's every Red Raiders favorite podcast. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com. Hour and 15 still on the docket for you. We lead you all the way up to Texas Rangers baseball, hosting the Cardinals, Gus's Cardinals. Interest of two teams tonight for Gus. Clint Scott, Dr. Mike Gustafson, Brendan Riker behind the glass. We get this on the H Flooring Center chat line. You can hit us up there as well. And we'll get to as many as we can. Red Raider baseball seeing their season come to a close today. We get this on the chat line. We only pitched Molina 80 pitches the entire weekend. I don't understand why we were so conservative with our pitchers. UT threw their guy 140.
I mean, as long as it works, that's okay to throw a guy 140, right? If that dude gets hurt at 135, mercy.
Florida is vastly...
I have a hard time recruiting anymore if that dude gets hurt like that. Because that was old school, man.
Yeah, because then you're the arm killer.
Yes.
Yeah.
You get that perception in this day and age? It's a big deal.
Pew, 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 pew. What's weird is this regional felt exactly like the Georgia Southern regional. That has to tell you something. I get this on the chat line. Florida is vastly.
I don't know what it tells us other than the offense went away. Yeah. It also, the offense, kind of, we don't think about this last week, but in Arlington, that whole, Saturday, the two losses on Saturday to Oklahoma State, it wasn't two runs, but we scored in two innings in 18 innings of baseball. We scored the one in the early game on Saturday, and then the late game on Saturday was a five-run inning. And so, like, just a bevy of zeros in there. And then this week, it's what, one run in 2 days, right?
Yep.
Yeah. And so, yeah.
We get this on the chat line. Florida is vastly superior to us and older.
Well, I don't disagree with that. More talented, the whole deal. We're a three seed. In a regional three seed, and they're the number two seed in the country.
Right.
And it showed. The draft will show that as well.
Because it's not like, and you mentioned this, it's not like they just have a guy that's going high in Wyatt Langford, but they've got, like, Jack Caglione, who's being looked at in a couple ways as far as, like, like the Shohei Ohtani effect.
And he's a sophomore,
effect.
By the way. Rivera's a top 100 shortstop and on and on and on. That's a loaded operation. And it's interesting, and I'm sure in 2019, when Florida won it in 17, lost to us in 16 in Omaha, won it all in 17, lost to us in the opening game in 18 up there, trying to think of how that went. I think they ended up sending us home up there. But and then in 19, they were here, I believe, as a three seed. They've hosted 13 of the last 15 years, and the last time they didn't host, they were here in 19. We didn't play them because they kept losing to DBU in that 2019 regional. But, and I'm sure that at their place, they were all pitchforks and fire O'Sullivan and all that. We just talked about the fact that TCU went 4 years in a row from 13 to 16, and and in 2019 there was a year in there where they didn't make the tournament at all. I think these cycles aren't end of the world type, everybody needs to be fired type things, but look for some breaks and try to clean things up and keep moving forward. The thing I'm never comfortable with, and I, this isn't just a me talking about baseball, the sport I love so much, but just across the board, any idea that, you know, that fans are more pissed than the people, the players and coaches are, like there's some greater level of emotion or involvement from us out here. Like, seriously. And if, you know, and there's been some of that. There's been some of the, to me, some of the hint at, and you're quarterback and point guard in the text over here, and that's fine. That's a better place for you. You throw at me what you want. It's been my role here, but the now I'm off topic here. I've lost my train of thought.
I took that you think I'm a great collegiate hitter and also a great quarterback. So
point guard. I was going point guard, dude.
And point guard. All three. The trifecta.
The first ever pro. Three-way player.
Tri-sport professional.
Tri-sport.
Yeah.
Tri-sport. Here's track in the spring, hoops, and quarterback. Big-time performer. But yeah, you know, just like that idea that well, the implication here, some of the text and the lifetime contract was the worst thing.
Right, it's stale and we're going the wrong way, right?
Take it down a notch. I'm sitting here listing off programs that were, air quotes, stale, mm-hmm. you know, and here they are having great moments, you know. We're getting a facility down out left field, like, you know, just hang on here. But the idea that a lifetime contract was some sort of a cause, you know, like the reason we aren't as good as the lifetime contract. Like, it's seriously. I mean, the implication there. That's
we need coaches coaching without security.
That's exactly it. It's like there's some idea that once Tadlock signed that contract, you know, we're just getting less effort and less care from him, and it's asinine, dude. Mm. I mean, like it's like take it down a notch, man.
We get this on the Ace Flooring Center chat line. I don't think people realize how hard it is to win an NCAA baseball regional, much less a super regional or college world series.
And so when we did it and made it look easy there for a stretch, that became the norm, and I understand that. That becomes the expectation.
And it's good to have those expectations, yeah, right? Because it means that you've been there and you've tasted it.
For 10 years, we didn't even get into one, and so... Mm-hmm. You know, suddenly we're a blue blood, and this is unacceptable.
Just like in business, you don't want your organization to get complacent. I think objectively you can agree this program has fallen off the last 4 years.
Well, it's not from where – not yeah, it's not what it was in 2019, but I'm failing to see the connection there. Like, it's fallen off because – could it just be that – you didn't get a couple of recruits that you thought you had, or is it no? Everyone's complacent. We're all terrible. That's what I'm getting at.
And if you're going like objectively over the past 4 years, objectively in those 4 years, you had one of your best teams that you've had at Texas Tech, and you didn't get to see what they could do.
Right.
And so I get the disappointment is raw, and yeah, I mean projection wise, you finished what, sixth in the Big 12. Right, mm-hmm. You were at a 500 Big 12 record, but to see that and then go, well, we haven't made it out of a regional two times in a row. Who knows if we even make it out in a regional next year?
Head should roll. Stop.
I think is a little bit of an overreaction, but that's what we do in sports, right?
Oh yeah,
as fans, sure. And that's part of it.
And AD and I talked about this a couple weeks ago. Just the idea that, you know, like what would be. Rather than screaming and yell about it, and somebody talked about it, business, you don't want to go stale. At least that's an objective approach to something there. I'll respond to that. The idea that, you know, what do you think that process is like for, you know, Kirby Hocutt? Mm-hmm. Do you think he invites Tim tomorrow at lunch and hands down ultimatums? You know, I mean, do you... Gotta get rid of somebody, you know. I mean, are we to that level yet? I don't even think it's close. And mm-hmm. I think part of it, and AD did a great piece on this when we talked about it. It's been a couple of weeks. Like, Tim Tadlock's never rattled cages around here, like in the way that Beard rattled cages. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean just in the end how he left us for Texas. By the way, Tim Tadlock didn't leave us for Texas or mm-hmm. A&M. So love him for that, but you know, at a time when his facility didn't get an improvement in his first 10 years here, did Tim Tadlock jump up and down and throw fits and raise unshirted Kane about it? No. And so don't you think he has some equity built up? Don't you think he has some equity built up with the administration in a way to go, hey, he backed us and he delivered with no substantive improvements. And maybe new carpeting in that old locker room or something, but nothing, you know, new lights a year ago. You're not recruiting to the new lights, you know. Like, it's finally, yeah.
You bring him in at night. You go, wait, hold on a second.
What's this?
Turn him on, boys.
Yeah, watch this. I can do this from my phone. Red, white. Well, okay, boys, where are you? Where do you want to sign? Can we talk you into walking on? I mean, I think the process here is much more about, hey, do you have what you need to be successful? Mm. What can we do to get this thing going?
Just imagining him as Clark Griswold right now. It's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3.
This has been the Tech Talk Podcast, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Check out our library of Double T 97.3 podcasts at doublet973.com.